Friends, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. From Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the story of life for the people of God.
Amen, Brian. Thank you for that reading. Beloved of God, would you join with me in prayer? Holy and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart in this room be holy and pleasing in your sight. You are our rock. You are our Redeemer. Alleluia and amen. One of my dearest friends is pregnant right now, due on Christmas, of all days. She is one of the coolest friends that I have. She does hot yoga, she's run a marathon, and her husband is a musician in a rock band that tours all over the country. I met her my first week of divinity school, and I remember very clearly being intimidated by how put together she was. I could never have imagined in those early days that she would become one of my closest and lifelong friends. 3 years later, I would officiate her wedding. 6 years later, she would fly out to Maine and visit and tell me she's pregnant, and I would burst into pretty epic and memorable airport tears. Do you have an unexpected friendship like this? I could never have imagined the friendship that we now share. Sometimes what God is inviting us to is bigger than our current imagination. Which actually is my friend's challenge with her pregnancy. She is strong in body and spirit. She's read all the books. She's set up the nursery. She's taken the birthing classes. And still, of course, yeah, amen, says baby Martin. And still, of course, she's a little afraid. As she told me this week, I do well when I have information about what's coming. And as some of you are already laughing because you know there's not a lot of information available to her about what's about to come. Amen? Talking to my friend has added great depth to my own thinking about Mary this Advent, and especially to what it meant for Mary to say yes. In the story of the Annunciation, which comes in the Gospel according to Luke just before the story that Brian just read, here are the facts that Mary is given according to the story before she says yes. Number one, she, a young woman who is not yet married, will become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. God will overshadow her, the angel tells her. Two, the baby will be a boy. Three, she will name him Jesus. Four, he will be God's son. And five, his kingdom will have no end. Six, Elizabeth, who is quite old and has never been able to conceive, is somehow also pregnant. And seven, finally, as a reminder, nothing is impossible with God. That's it. Notice that there is no promise about her. The angel does not tell her if she will be okay, if she will survive the scorn of her community at this pregnancy that in her time, and too often in ours, would have been considered shameful as she was not married. There's no promise that she will physically survive the birth or that she will spiritually and emotionally survive the work of parenting the Son of God, which had to be pretty hard at times. In fact, there's really no promise at all to Mary that this will be okay. The only promise is that God will be there and that all is possible with God. Sometimes what God is inviting us to is bigger than our current imagination. All of this makes me wonder how the moment before Mary said yes really played out. Did she say yes as quickly as in the story we now tell, or do you think she paused for even just a moment to think about it? Was yes even her first answer? Most of the holy stories I know of people saying yes to God involve them first saying, who, me, God, really? And then second saying, no, God, not me, someone else, before they finally say, okay, if you really want me. If Mary had said no, do you think God would have waited for her to reconsider? Or do you think God would have moved on to invite some other young woman to the holy task? Who knows? Maybe God did. Maybe Mary wasn't the first person the angel Gabriel appeared to. That part of the story doesn't echo down through the ages either. We don't know if she said yes quickly as the story is told, or if she paused, hesitated, sat in that tension between invitation and acceptance, reflecting on all that was unknown and unimaginable and unpromised. The great painter Sandro Botticelli painted this moment, however long it lasted, in a great piece of art that I look at every time this year. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's called the Cestello Annunciation. It's a painting of this moment between the invitation and the yes, with the angel Gabriel kneeling before Mary, waiting. And Mary's whole body is turned away from the angel, and she has one hand facing him in a clear sign of no, while her other hand is reaching out even then to touch the angel, and her head is dipped and already surrounded by a halo. It's gorgeous. Behind her in the painting, if you look longer, is a window that shows a castle with a bridge that's only halfway built across a river. As if all of creation is waiting in that moment to see if she will agree to be the connection between God's kingdom and this earth or not. If Mary had said no, I have a guess that she would always have wondered. I suspect she would have felt that feeling that some of us know too well, like walking around in shoes that are half a size too small, which is what it feels like when we lead lives just a little bit smaller than what God has created us for or invited us to. We can move through the world like that, right? Some of us have worn shoes too small. We can even look from the outside like we're happy, well-adjusted people, and yet some of us know that feeling of being pinched and of the blisters that form on our spirits when we live in ways that aren't quite honoring of who and of whose we are. Sometimes what God is inviting us to is bigger than our imagination. Mary does, of course, say yes. Twice, actually, as I read the story, and both of her yeses matter dearly. First, although she has very little information about what will happen, though she most likely does not have savings to construct a nursery, and though there are no pregnancy books for her to read, and she's likely illiterate anyway, and though it comes at great risk, not just to her reputation, but to her life, remember the very community who raised her could have in that day stoned her for pregnancy outside of marriage. Though all of this is real and true, and though no angel or person has given her a roadmap for how it will work out or promised her that it will be okay, Mary responds. Do you remember? Some of you have this written in your heart. Here am I, she says, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And then, as the story goes, she does as women have been doing for millennia when they find out they are pregnant. She goes to Elizabeth, who is older than she and further along than she, to share the news and to receive the support that only another woman who has received such impossible news from an angel can give. And it's in Elizabeth's company that Mary says that second yes, which is what Brian read so beautifully today and which is central to our story of who we are. We love to sing that anthem that our choir sang so beautifully last week. Do you know that anthem that wonders in the Annunciation? Did she know? Did she know what she was saying yes to? When the Magnificat comes in our text, we are told definitively, yes, she knew. She knew all that her baby would be and do. And she said yes to it, to the pregnancy and to the knowledge that she would change the whole world and the whole world order. And this yes that she says, this yes from a young peasant girl is so powerful that her words have sometimes been banned. Some of you might remember in 1980 in Guatemala, the government banned this text, Mary's song, because, to quote New Testament scholar Scott McKnight, unlike Away in a Manger, this prayer was apparently considered subversive, politically dangerous, and might incite the oppressed people to riot. They banned scripture. We cannot underestimate the power of a young woman's words. Here are those words, those powerful, dangerous, subversive, holy words of Mary's yes that so threaten corrupt leaders of every age. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Hear even just that first claim, that her young, teenage, female soul would dare to do something as big and bold and holy as magnify the creator of the universe. Do you hear what a bold thing that is to say? "My soul magnifies the Lord," she says, "and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." Surely, she says, "from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. Unjust thrones are crumbling, the rich are sent away, the mighty are cast down, and the lowly are lifted. Powerful and subversive indeed. Do you see why Guatemala would ban Mary's song? Do you see what that hope could do to a people? Note that in this passage, Mary speaks in the past tense. Did anybody catch that? She speaks as if it's already happened. God has brought the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things. Even though in the moment when she sings, she is still under Roman occupation. She's not getting her tenses mixed up, and it's not a translation problem. To quote the preacher Barbara Brown Taylor, quote, "Prophets almost never get their verb tenses straight, because part of their gift is being able to see the world as God sees it, not divided into things that are already over and things that have not happened yet, but as an eternally unfolding mystery that surprises everyone, maybe even God." In other words, Mary is proclaiming, "I see across time that God is turning the world upside down, or really maybe right side up, and I know I, Mary, am part of this holy work." Her imagination is suddenly, in this moment, big enough to grasp God's invitation. Notice she does not have the details or any promise that she will be fine, but what she has is a wildly holy certainty that God has called her to something that will change the world, and that the God who called her will be with her every step of the way. Suddenly, she doesn't need the details. She just needs to sing out hope for all that is to come. And sing she does in words so holy that they have sparked hope and liberation and promise in peoples and communities and even in nations ever since. And what about you? Have you ever been visited by an angel? Has God come to you with an invitation that was bigger than your imagination? Have you dared to say yes, even when you couldn't see the details? Maybe some of you are in the midst of this right now, turning your body in no, even as your spirit is starting to sing yes. Or maybe you're in the midst of a big change, experiencing your own version of morning sickness and labor pangs as something new emerges in your life. If you're not sure whether this is from God, I invite you to spend some time with the Magnificat this week. This is what a real yes to God sounds like. Does your new beginning line up with the song that Mary is singing? I cannot look around the corner for you or for my friend or for Mary to tell you how it will all unfold. But none of you needs me to. Knowing God's promise is better than knowing the details. And the promise is this: God will be with us as God has always been. And despite all evidence to the contrary, God is turning the world right side up again, and we are being invited to take part. Beloved, how will we answer? My friend's going to be an amazing mother. Mary's son changed the world and changed all of our lives. And you? In the mystery of God's time, the yes you're about to say has already worked out in ways bigger than you could imagine right now. This Advent, won't you find the courage to proclaim it? Alleluia and Amen.